we are joined in the studio by Jenny Sims, who is a ceramic artist, currently working as the artist in residence at the Grand Marais Art Colony. Welcome to the Roadhouse.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming up. You've been pretty busy and doing all kinds of work down there. Why don't you just start by telling us a little bit about what you do for art and maybe how you became an artist in residence at the Art Colony?
Okay, well, I'm primarily a functional potter, but most recently I've been delving into doing myolica, which is like a decorative glaze technique, real painterly. And so I've been doing a lot of narrative work on my functional pots. So what my proposal was to do for my residency at the Grand Marais Art Colony is to spend a little bit of time mapping out the narratives the illustrations that go on my pieces, on my three-dimensional pieces. And I wanted to kind of do that in a 2D situation, do drawings and kind of plan out things as I think about things. Just having like a big wall and drawing and mapping out what's going to happen on my 3D pots is pretty great to have that time to do that.
Yeah, that's really neat. Yeah. I was in the studio, and people are welcome to drop by and see the work that you're doing.
Yep.
The pots that you've been throwing are pretty large, and not only the pots and the shapes themselves, but the images that you're putting on them reminded me of Roman amphorae.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a purposeful direction there?
Yeah, that's kind of a new thing for me. I've been thinking a lot about storage vessels and looking at Greek pots, like the old amphora, that's been like a thing that's been kind of surging through my mind lately. But I thought for the residency, it would be great to have like a big thing to do like a big narrative on. So I went big, and those are actually like the biggest pots I've ever made, probably.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to have that freedom and that ability to just do something that is a little outside the box.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is better to be a functional artist rather than a dysfunctional artist.
Well, I'm definitely both.
Dysfunctional artist.
Yeah, well, making functional things rather than dysfunctional things is probably a better way to put it. So what you mean by functional things is what? You basically make things that people use every day?
Yeah, so my background in clay I started by making pots. You know, that was what drew me to clay, was the
playing
functionality.
In the mud.
Yeah, really, you know, seeing that you could actually like make dishes. And that sparked a whole like conversation for me about, you know, kitchen and working and traveling. And it's kind of brought me through my life. Pottery has the stories that pots tell and the things that we choose to live with, essentially.
But you did some of that in lots of different places. Yeah. I mean, when I was looking at your list of accomplishments, I mean, you're a younger woman, and I was actually quite surprised at all the different places and all the different things that you've done. You've been overseas. You did some work over there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I grew up in Little Rock, Arkansas, and after college, I really just needed to get out. So I got my work visa and moved to London, England. And then from there, I kind of traveled around and I ended up, you know, working with a potter in southern England. And that's really what made my decision working with clay to kind of stay. Mm-hmm. So.
And you did production work there, or you did just straight artistic work, or a little of both?
Mostly he let me kind of work on my own stuff, and I kind of helped him mix glazes and things like that. But I worked at a little family pottery in Italy for a summer, and I made production work, which was like ashtrays and bells. And I worked at a pottery in Scotland where
put
I made
two grooves in it, call it an ashtray.
Yeah, just scratch in, you know, gendola. So that was interesting. Yeah, and then I worked in Scotland for a little while doing production work, but I was never very good at it. I just sort of showed up, and I kind of convinced them that I was and ended up working, and those people were so nice to let me stay, for sure.
Well, I think that's the way a lot of us get jobs.
Yeah.
I won't reveal any secrets, but one of the things that struck me again when I saw these big pots was how much clay you must go through, number one, and mm-hmm. just how heavy and physical that all is. That's a pretty physical medium.
It is. Yeah, I think that's what something that people are drawn to in clay and the medium is the physicality and the labor part of it, because it's, you know, it goes in cycles where you you throw and then you recycle your clay and then you mix your glaze and you fire the kiln. It's all very, it's so much work, you know, so.
A lot of steps and a lot of time in between them.
Yeah. Older potters are usually a little, you know, you can tell they've been working.
So the hands, the arms, there's got to be a lot of wear and tear on the hands.
Yeah, for sure. I have to, I'm really careful now about my repetitive stress injuries. And it's, you know, the thing that really messed up my wrists was like using a drill and plunging glazes, like large amounts of glaze. So whenever I use a drill, my arm gets numb. Motor. It's like, okay, no more of that. But yeah, of all things.
It's actually kind of funny. A number of years ago, I had a guy working for me who was a ceramic student at the time, and actually now is a professional potter and teaches someplace. He was born with a birth defect that his wrists did not rotate. And that was a huge advantage for him.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have the torque of the wheel and everything just didn't really bother him at all. I mean, his hands still got tired and everything, but it was the one thing that he could do in his life better than everybody else.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because of his little thing. Huh. So the other thing that happened when I came to visit you over at the studio was that you were just waiting for somebody to bring you chili. Which I thought, you know, wow, that's kind of a nice little perk. You know, I get to be the artist in residence, and I got people bringing me food for lunch.
Yeah, that was really nice. One of the board members brought me some chili to kind of get me started my week, and that was really nice. So I was waiting for it to heat up while you were, while you came in. I was staring out the window, kind of just waiting for my chili to heat up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that's a nice thing about being here. Everyone's kind of pitching in and making sure I'm doing good and stopping by to see me. It's nice.
So if people want to come see your work, they can kind of come in anytime, as long as you're not right in the middle of something?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I think that'd be great. You know, come by the art colony anyway and look around. And if I'm there, please come and talk to me. But, you know, sometimes I take little breaks and go for drives and things like that.
And then next week, you have a more hands-on project going with people?
Yes. So the following Saturday, I have, from 1 to 3, we will have an event where folks can come in and kind of sort of an audience participation kind of situation where I'll be sort of doing my demonstration of my process, and folks are welcome to participate. So, you know, I think the thing is we were asking people to maybe bring in an object, maybe like a functional object or any kind of object really that has some kind of meaning, kind of history, some kind of feeling for you. And we can kind of maybe draw it and sort of think about drawing narratives on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just going to be a kind of fun exercise.
The essence of art, creating a story out of something meaningful. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And just a little insight into that. So you're going to finish your 2-week tenure at the Grand Marais Art Colony, and you'll have some lovely big pots to share with the world. I think share them with folks around here too.
Yeah.
And what's next for you on the artistic horizon? Because, you know, you're making a living as an artist.
I'm trying to. I didn't really have any other choice. Like, no one would hire me to teach. So, not really. That's not true. I teach at Powderhorn Park in Minneapolis. Well, you know, when I go home, I have a lot of orders kind of backed up to do. I have like a wedding registry and some other things. In June, I'll be participating in the Northern Spark in Minneapolis. It's all night festival. And my friend Jess Hirsch and I are going to renovate a trailer and make it into a kitchen. And she carves wooden spoons primarily. And I make pots out of clay. And we're going to kind of set up a kitchen situation. So
fun.
So we'll have that for like our small business called Powderhorn Kitchen, which we're really trying to kind of push. So it's an online venue how we sell our work. So.
Nice. And if people wanted to see your work and or purchase your work, there's some place they could do that?
I sell my work at a little store in the North Loop in Minneapolis called The Foundry. It's a home goods store. And I take most of my work there just because she does a really good job at selling it. And there's a lot of great people that come in there. I don't have a lot of work online right now, but you can always check my website. It's jennysims.com. And there's a link to the Powderhorn Kitchen. And we've got some work on there for sure.
Well, I would encourage people to come by and see your work and see what you're doing. The glazes and the drawings are just beautiful, and it has this really ancient look to it, and yet it's brand new and fresh and slightly modern. So it's kind of an interesting combination of qualities. I was fairly impressed with that.
Thank you.
I've got some real basic questions for Jenny.
Sure.
Because I tried pottery when I was probably 10 years old at the same place that you are working right now at Art Colony. I was like many Grand Marais, we were lucky enough to have an art colony here that we could participate in.
Yeah.
No matter if you were any good or not, which I was in the not category. And I made a lot of ashtrays.
But there's always hope.
A lot of ashtrays because they would collapse.
Yes.
Now, when you're making big things like you're making now, is there things you have to do to prevent that from happening? Is it just a balance issue? Or how do you do that?
It's called doing it over and over and over again.
Experience.
For years and years and years. Yeah. I know. Yeah, I teach beginners and, you know, real experienced potters. So there's just no substitute for keeping on.
And through this experience, what things are you doing that stop that from happening?
The demise of the pot?
Exactly.
Well, you just, each time you just get better and better.
There's not a prescribed thing that do this.
No.
Just practice.
And that's what's kind of cool about it is that your body has to learn how to do it, and then eventually it becomes muscle memory and you just don't even think about it and you do it.
It never became any kind of memory for me except ashtrays.
Just a bad one.
Maybe it was just a nightmare.
It was fun.
Yeah.
We still had fun, you know, because we're actually making something and you'd stick it in the kiln and it'd come out and you didn't know exactly what it was going to look like. And it still amazes me how glazes work.
Yeah.
Because you're never certain how they're going to look, are you?
No. I mean, that's the first thing I tell my students is the answer to every ceramics question is it depends. There's no yes or no, and there's no guarantees. So, you know, the teacher is a lot of the time really just the bad guy all the time because, you know, we just can't predict for folks, and we can't just really tell you how to do it. It's really just, it's a dance. You have to get in there and try it for yourself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And is there a big difference now? You're at a different venue and you have a different kiln. And does that change how you do things? Do you know how to adapt to maybe this is electric or gas or different sizes?
Yeah, you know, I've worked in a lot of ceramic studios and I feel like this one it's real sweet. It's small and they've got the kind of kilns, the electric kilns that I'm used to. So I'm totally at home there, a little too at home. I'm trying to stay in the Founders Hall and do my drawings, but, you know, I'm so drawn to the ceramic studio because I know it. A few people come in and out, and it's really great.
Do you have any early experiences with ceramics, Dave?
I do. In fact, I still have the pot that I made in seventh grade, you know, survey of this is art. And we use it as a little dry plant holder in the corner of the living room.
Did you bring it in and show Jenny?
No,
I didn't.
Do that. In fact, that's one of the things that I keep wishing would fall off a shelf and break because then I could, you know, legitimately throw it away. But no, Mom saved it all the years, and then I got it from Mom and showed it to my boys when they were little. We still have some of their little ashtrays or pots or whatever from that they did at the Art Colony. I have two sons, so.
That's great.
Yeah, and actually it was interesting earlier today, or one of the artist interviews that we do on WTIP here is Cooper Turns. He does turned bowls, and he said almost exactly the same thing that you do, that a bowl because it's a functional thing, it has a story automatically, and they just last longer if they're made out of clay than if they're made out of wood.
So
they get more stories and they have more interesting backgrounds.
Yeah.
But the glazes and the clay and playing in mud and having a right to get dirty and spray mud all over yourself is really, I think that's kind of cool for kids and old people too.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it's a grown-up play thing.
You got to be careful though about saying playing with clay because, you know, for a lot of us, it's hard work.
Yes.
Not to scold you.
When you were doing production production work, like you mentioned in Italy that you were making, what was it, ashtrays and
bells.
Something else.
But
you have to make those all the same, don't you, or close to it. So that requires some pretty technical stuff. Or when people make bowls and they want a set of eight.
That all fit inside each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whoa, I'm lost then because... Well, half of mine are going to fall in the first place, and who knows what happens with the glazes. So.
Yeah, so if I had an order for eight bowls, I'd make 20 probably.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you use any kind of a guide, a wooden form or anything to hold the edge?
You know, normally if you weigh out your clay, or if I weigh out a ball of clay, say it's 2 pounds, I usually end up making the same size bowl. But it's going to be a little bit different, but I can use a ruler and kind of, you know, push it down or stretch it out. Yeah, so I use like a ruler or a set of calipers to kind of measure.
So it's just the shape of your hand just tends to make a certain shape and size, or a certain wedge of bowl, or a certain profile.
With a certain amount of clay, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Neat.
Wow. It's pretty neat.
Yeah. It's, and how long have you been doing this?
I've been working with clay since, my last year of high school. So, you know, since when I was 17, maybe.
Okay.
Gosh, I don't know. Because it's been off and on. You know, I traveled and I did other things. And so I'd say about 15 years altogether.
But maybe. You were drawn back to the clay. Were you doing other artistic things or just other things in your life?
Well, I was traveling a lot. And I got certified to teach English in Spain. So I did that. And then I dated a French guy out there. And I ended up staying out there. You know, stuff like that. Just dumb stuff.
That sounds like adventure to me.
Yeah.
No, it was great.
No, it's part of what makes you you. You know,
it was great. Stuff, so. I meant dating the French guy. That was pretty dumb.
Oh,
but,
wow.
Everything else was just great.
You should stick to the Swedes.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
Well, at least if you're in Spain, the Spanish people, because they're probably a little jealous too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so next Saturday is an event happening.
Yep.
If you want to remind people one more time what's happening.
Next Saturday, the 12th, I believe it is, there's another event, and it's from 1 to 3. It's audience participation, not mandatory, but folks are welcome to kind of bring in an object that holds meaning to them, and we can sort of work on a way to kind of make that sort of part of my process, like drawing small functional objects as art objects and making them special in some way.
Well, that'll be fun to be able to explore the stories and see if you can get them on paper.
Yeah.
Draw something out of people. Well, thanks a lot for coming down to WTIP and talking with us. Thanks a lot for coming all the way from Minneapolis to spend a couple of weeks of your life at the Art Colony.
Thanks for having me.
You bet.
It's been great.
Thank you very much.
Jenny Sims, and as she said, she's at the Art Colony for another week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Another week.
Will you be around on Sunday too?
Yeah,
the 13th.
That's my last day, so okay. I'll be kind of packing up. But you know, come by, say hi.
Great, thanks again.
Thank you.